I'm going to warn you just a little bit before we get started that I might come across as talking a lot about something that's going on personally with me right now, which that's okay. I told Garland before, I said, you know, sometimes you got something going on that's on your mind so much, it don't matter what scripture you read, it don't matter where you turn, it always applies to that situation. So that's what you're going to get today, because I didn't have a choice. I want to start by relaying a little story to you. Several years ago, my uncle gave me a book called Who Moved My Cheese? I don't know how many of you read that, but I'll tell you, it's about some mice that are put in a maze, and they have their cheese or their sustenance in a certain spot in that maze, and they get going to that same spot over and over and over, and over time, that cheese starts going away, or somebody moves it, and they keep going back to that same spot, and there's nothing there, and some of them just die from lack of sustenance. Well, I want to tell you this morning that if your cheese keeps moving, your source of sustenance, then you're looking in the wrong spot. That comes from personal experience. Okay? Some of you might have looked on Facebook or saw the title of our lesson today, Shaken or Stirred. That's a James Bond kind of a quote. It's about a vodka martini. We're not going to talk about alcohol or vodka martinis today. But there are certain things that come along in our life that either shake us, shake our faith, our endurance, our patience, or they stir it up. And we want to talk about that some today. If you would, let's look at Job 14 and verse 1. It says, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." That's a very common reading. We talk about it a lot. And sometimes we talk about the shortness of life. Well, you know, that's not all bad. We don't want to be here forever, do we? There's something better. If you would, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to start reading there in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." I want to look at that I got highlighted right there. It says, "in all our tribulation." That "all" is a really large word. But why does that happen? So we can comfort them that are in any trouble. Another big word. But you know, our life experience, the things we go through, are designed to give us an ability to help others in every case. So let's continue reading. "By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." So as we read this, we understand that we're going to be in a life that's full of trouble. But there's a purpose in that. It prepares us to help others. But it also shows Christ. It shows Christ. It's an ability. It's an opportunity, in other words. Matthew 6 and verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" You know, we've looked at this verse probably a lot in our lives. I know I have. But that last part there says, "Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" I haven't considered that properly, probably. I'm always thinking about all the other stuff, you know. Hey, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? And God's going to take care of that. But then this is the question. Is not the life, it's a statement too, more than meat and the body more than raiment? There's a lot going on. Man is going to be here for just a little while. The life's going to be full of trouble. But it's even more than that. It's bigger than that. When I think about being comforted, I think about this picture. It's a probably the best way I can describe a feeling which, no matter what's going on in the world around you, this baby has no fear, no worry, totally comforted. Now I want to tell you that God holds us like that, so that we are totally comforted, that we have no fear of the things that go on. That's what it's talking about. It's not life more than raiment or body more than raiment. It's more than that. But God comforts us in every situation. See, God has promised to comfort us. See, as I look back on my own experience, I have no experience that would tell me, show me, indicate in any way that God wouldn't take care of me. I can tell you that I recently got laid off. That's the second or third time in my life that's happened. I've been a farmer and that ended. And in every case, I'm not talking about most of the time, in every case, things have turned out good. Generally better. So why would I have this doubt? You know, when somebody says, you know, we're going to have to lay you off, the work is ended, or we're not making any money, whatever, it feels like you get kicked in the gut. So you kind of have this shortness of breath and, wow, it's not like I didn't see this coming. What bothers me is that I have that feeling. Where's that feeling come from? And so I bet there's probably situations in your life where there's been a statement made by a doctor, by a boss, that something's happened to you, some situation, it just feels like you get kicked in the gut. That is not all bad. Okay? We live in the flesh. How we react to that is an opportunity. You know, as I think about good and evil and light and dark and God and Satan, there's a huge contrast. And we live that life. We live between there somewhere. Okay? The devil is the most evil being that ever existed. God is the best, most loving being that has ever been or will ever be. The value is in the contrast. If everything was great and good, where would the value be? If everything was bad, where would the value be? So that getting kicked in the gut feeling, how you react to that gives value to the good. You have something to compare it to, in other words. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start reading there in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from the so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. So let's look at that a little bit. Remember I said, if you keep going to the same place and your cheese keeps moving, we've got a problem. It's ourself. We have to die to ourself. That's what it's talking about here. He said, you know, they feared for their life. Their very life. They didn't fear for losing their car or their home or losing all the money they're making or whatever it is. They feared for their life. He says, but we died in ourselves. And what sustained them is what will sustain us. A trust in God. Going down there to verse 10 there, we got, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Like I said, I have no experience in my life. None. That would lead me to believe otherwise. But you still have the feeling. Hopefully it's a fleeting feeling. So, my question is, how does the devil inject himself into these situations? We focus on God, right? Maybe that's how he injects himself in there. Where does that come from? Where does that feeling come from? Romans 7 and verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You see, we live in the flesh. We can't get away from it. That's where we are. We need to deny it, try to die in the flesh and live a spiritual life. But we have this weakness that we live in. God perfects that so that when we focus on Him and Jesus, we're perfected in that. That feeling, like I say again, is the contrast. The value in the good is because we struggle. The struggle is important. because it builds faith and endurance. See, they serve to strengthen the spirit. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Remember, we have the constant struggle, the contrast, the good versus evil. Let's continue in verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I listened to a lesson that Jay Lloyd gave, and he said, do you ever feel like your prayers just don't get past the ceiling? Well, have you felt like that? I know I have. And then I've realized that the ceiling's not a barrier, that Jesus is here. Why am I thinking about there, like I'm praying to someone in the distance? The truth is, he's here. He's sitting right beside you. He's in you. This can be a really quiet prayer, and he'll hear it. You don't have to yell at the top of your lungs because there's some distance there. There's no distance. You know what? We're talking about things that have been said and famous phrase or whatever. It is about who you know. It really is about who you know. You know, as you go out job hunting or whatever, and you're building this network or whatever, it's about who you know. Somebody can get you in front of somebody. Somebody can get you in front of the decision maker. It's about who you know. Who do you know? Who do I know? Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who do you know? Who's making intercession for you? Who's in front of the decision maker saying, hey, it's about who you know. It's about where you place your cheese, where you're going to get your cheese every day. It's not moving. It needs to be in the same place continually. It don't matter that the world moves its little bitty pieces of cheese around. They're not even good cheese. It won't sustain you. If you want something that sustains you, look to God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Light affliction. For a moment. It's quick. There's nothing to it. Man's life is short and full of trouble. But it works for a greater purpose, don't it? You know, I think about those mice in the maze. Using their eyes, using their senses to go to the same spot over and over and over. That's another way the devil gets us. He lets us start trusting in ourselves. In our own senses. We go to the same spot over and over, and we trust in that, and we trust in that. Well, the world's going to move your cheese. So, by that test, I've never been in a maze. The only experience I have in a maze is those little puzzles made when you was a kid and you had to get from one spot to another and go through that maze. And I think of it like this. Once you've gone through it and you realize, hey, I made a wrong turn here and I had to come back out and backtrack and do all that, well, then it's easier to find it the next time. So that you persevere, you endure. Your experience helps you focus on where the cheese is. The experience is important. So whenever we have these troubles, these trials, my question would be again, do they stir you or shake you? Is your faith shaken? So I'm in this room, there's no cheese. Where do I go? What do I do? I've never been here. Oh man, this is terrible. Or you think, hey, I've been here before. Let's go back out here. Go where I've always gone, where it's always been, because I know this guy that died for me. I know that he loved me enough. And he's going to take care of me because he said so, and I've got no experience that would ever lead me to believe otherwise. So when your faith and patience are shaken, you must focus on the victory you have in Christ. So let's let the troubles of life stir our faith, endurance, and hope. I think about those basketball games where you see, right now, I guess we're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors because they always win. But at the very end of the game, let's say there's 30 seconds left and they're up by 30, they start celebrating. They realize a victory. Is it official? No, the game hadn't ended, but they realize a victory. They're not focused on the foul from before, or the missed shot or whatever. They know there's a victory there. It's just a short time away. Shouldn't we kind of have the same attitude that they have in that last second? We realize the victory. We're not focused on the good or the bad that we've done. We're focused on the victory. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith is it impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So, once again, personal experience, I wonder, do you ever lose sight of the victory? I know I do. When you lose sight of the victory, when you lose consciousness, awareness that that victory is there, well, once again, God provided the cheese. He provided the sustenance. He said, you know, these people are going to forget. So he set up a memorial. So we remember the victory that we have through his blood. That's the focus. It's not on our mistakes. We're forgiven. It's not on that kicked in the gut thing. Because that's just living in the flesh, and that gives value to us overcoming those things. So, in closing, I want to just ask you, you're living a life full of trouble. Is your faith shaken or stirred?